Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Listening to the Cricket Podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast, where we're going to be talking about Australia batting and batting and batting some more. I'm Jack Hope. I'm talking to you at the end of day one of the World Test Championship final, and I'm joined by Max Rowe Brown to go over the details of all of the batting. How you doing, Max?
Yeah, very good. I enjoyed seeing some competitive Test cricket for 20 overs.
Yeah.
And then I guess I also enjoyed the rest of it a little bit, but not quite as much.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe we could just talk about the first 20 overs. First 20 overs, it really did feel like a final. It felt like there were punches thrown by both sides. India probably on top with the early wicket, and then Warner timing the ball well. Then the Lord comes in just before lunch, and you thought, oh wow, this game's really set up for something good. It could go either way, and then Steve Smith. I mean, it's a thing we've seen before. We've seen Travis Head before as well, but we've really seen Steve Smith before. Took the game away a little bit. Max, let's hit people with sponsors first, and then we'll explain why we're dressed up.
Well, our sponsor is Sirius Cricket, because we saw some Sirius Cricket today, and Sirius Cricket are offering you 10% off if you go to their website and type in the code TCP23. And that will give you, like I said, 10% off all cricket equipment on their website. It's all good stuff. They do our team kit. We've got pod merch now as well on Sirius Cricket. So you can go over there and get a bucket hat and join us with weird sort of fascinators. But the important thing is TCP23 and Sirius Cricket.
I should add the link to the show notes. I haven't done that. But we will get the merchandise link added to the show notes. And as you said, Max, you can, you know, buy a t-shirt with our name on it, buy a hat with our name on it, buy another type of hat with our name on it. It's all good stuff. Max, do you want to summarise the day? In fact, before you summarise the day, I'm going to give a shout out to anybody from India that is tuning into this live. Well done. You like punishment and pain way more than I do. So thanks. Do hit like, do hit subscribe as well if you're not. And if you're an Australian, leave us a little comment, say hello. We don't get loads of Aussie
representation. Come and tell us how you're going to completely destroy us in the Ashes after this.
Yeah, I mean, like you say that, but I'm not scared. I'm not scared after that performance. What happened in the cricket, Max?
Well, like we said, first 20 overs were very interesting indeed. India won the toss, chose to field, inserted Australia, and with a little bit of cloud around. And the ball doing a bit, it looked like not a bad choice. There was some juice in the pitch. The odd one was leaping. Labuschagne was wrapped on the hand when he got his turn to bat, which wasn't after very long because Usman Khawaja perished for a 10-ball duck to Siraj. Siraj and Shami both looked pretty tasty with the new ball. Charged a little bit with bowling too short at the start, but once they did pitch up, they looked pretty tasty. Marnus Labuschagne had an interesting stay, weathered a few, played and missed at a few. It looked like he was going to be on for one of those 100s that look extremely lucky. But just after the lunch break, Shami did pitch one up and castled him. And that brought, that brought Travis Head to the crease, didn't it? And Stephen Smith and Travis Head did not look back. One somewhat faster than the other. Should also give a shout out to the Lord, who, despite his figures of 1-75 off 18 overs, which look pretty unfortunate, he did start the day bowling very nicely. And he was probably about the only one who had Steve Smith looking like he was in any trouble. But once sort of the early shine was bashed off the ball by Travis Head, it was a processionary last half a day plus, really.
Yeah. It was a little bit. We'll talk about that in a second. If you're watching on YouTube, Max and I have chosen to dress up a little bit. I'm wearing sunglasses. I mean, I say dress up. There's not a lot going on, is there? But by the standards of cricket podcasts, this is wacky insane. And Max is wearing a Pokemon hat. The strategy here is it's to entertain. Like our YouTube audience, if you don't know, tilts massively Indian, and our podcast audience tilts massively not Indian. What we're doing is we're entertaining all the brave souls from India who are watching us live. We're hopefully putting a smile on your face. And if you're not from India, now you've got an incentive to head over to YouTube and click subscribe rather than just like listening to the podcast on the train to work or, you know, whatever you do.
Yeah, more That's, funky hats to come.
That is strategy, Max. Right, let's... Let's go through some of the points of the day, and I think we should probably start with the mega partnership from Smith and Head. Max, it's a simple question, and you feel free to elaborate as you please. They were impressive, weren't they?
Yes, they were. Two very different innings as well. Travis Head had clearly drunk some of the English air and decided that baseball was the way he was going to go, and came out swinging from the start and really put the pressure back on Australia, back on India rather. Just as they'd got that wicket of Labuschagne, and it looked like, you know, they'd sort of wrestled back parity really in the first session or so of the day. It was a really timely point to put his foot on the gas, I thought, and he just looked really, really impressive and quite worryingly so. Steve Smith, on the other hand, just decided he was going to be part of the furniture, which he so often does. He looked, like I said, aside from that sort of few overs from Shardul Thakur, where he got the ball to move around a bit and had Steve Smith squared up from time to time. After that period, he was serene. Very, very Steve Smith, really, isn't it? It's been a little while since we've seen Steve Smith come over here and do that. But he looked a bit iffy, maybe, for the first 30 balls, as sometimes he does. And then when you don't get him out in the first 30 balls, you're absolutely stuffed. His average in England since 2015 is like 92 or something obscene. I mean, it's just a quite imperious thing from him. He sort of started to motor a bit at the end, taking it to Jadeja towards the end. But I think for me, what it highlighted was possibly the lack of a plan B from India's bowlers. You know, after the first attempt of getting the ball to move and looking dangerous, once that stopped happening, it wasn't until Travis Head was on like 95 that they decided they were going to bowl at his head. And he didn't like it. Didn't like it very much. So maybe they could have tried that a bit earlier, especially, you know, somewhere like the Oval where you do get a bit of bounce. But again, you know, lacking someone like Bumrah and the extra pace that he brings, it was a bit difficult.
Yeah, I think they did. Travis Head read the room, didn't he? He realised pretty shortly after, I think he was in. I think it probably took him two or three balls to work out that he was going to be batting during the good bit of the Test match. And he walks off the pitch with 146 of 156 balls, scoring at 93. Twice, he's scoring twice as quickly as Steve Smith at the other end. I mean, Smith's done well, hasn't he? He's basically got his team through a tricky period and stopped the wickets at one end while Travis
basically soaked everything up and exactly, allowed the other guy to,
do what he wanted. I mean, 22 boundaries and a, 22 fours and a six, so 23 boundaries for Head as well. I mean, he really flayed the Indian bowling. It's a fantastic day for Australia. There's no other way of putting it. If you were going to look at what the best possible day for Australia could be, realistically speaking,
Yeah. 400 for none.
Yeah. I think the only way this could have gone better is if Warner wasn't out, because he was looking good, and maybe he gets a ton too, and they get 20 more runs. Like they're probably 20 runs away from the best possible day that they could have had. Which is nuts.
Yeah, Umesh came on and bowled him into some form at just the right time. That was good of him. Cheers, mate.
From an India point of view, I think I agree with you on the plans point of view. I mean, we should. There's a few points here, so remember these because I want to go through them all. We've got the length that they bowled. We've got the bowling tactics that they used with the bowlers that they had available, and then we've got Ashwin. So I want to talk about all three of those, Max. Which one of the three would you like to talk about first?
Let's start with the length. Is that the first one you said?
Yeah, right. So it was mentioned quite a few times on commentary and around in general that India might have bowled a little bit short, and I would agree with that. I think they bowled a length that would have been good in England 2 years ago and is now, for all reasons, basically no longer such a good length to bowl. And I'm specifically talking here in the first sort of 35, 40 overs. I think they bowled a little bit dry when they should have gone hunting for wickets and accepted that they might have gone for a few more runs. But they might be at the end of the day now, it might still be 327, but they might be for eight. In which case India are thinking, wow, we took a bit of a hammering, but like we're wrapping them up early tomorrow and we're probably, we're in a really decent place to win this match. I think there's been basically a change. Like, you don't have the luxury with the Jukes ball as it is at the moment of knowing that it will swing later in the innings. So just bowling dry and sort of hammering that slightly back of full length or slightly back of a good length, maybe, that means you're wasting the 35, 40 over window where the ball actually is very difficult to bat against. And what that means is that although your figures look very pretty, and they largely did, Shardul Thakur was going to 2 and over at one point. Siraj and Shami bowled great first spells and were good after lunch as well. But to have only 3 wickets on the board at that time was a worry. And then as the ball goes soft, you're kind of screwed because you've got 2 middle order batters in who are comfortable with seeing it well and aren't under any pressure from a wickets point of view because they recover the position that they're in so quickly. They went from 70 for 3 or 75 for 3 to, past 100 at nearly a run a ball. Head came in and on 40 or 30.
You almost want to take the option of leaving on length out, don't you? That's the...
Yeah.
We saw it a bit from a couple of the LBW shouts as well. There were a couple of reviews. The first one was a hell of a lot closer than I thought it was looking real time. Real time, it looked like it was nowhere near. And then the second one they reviewed was going over by quite some distance. I think we should probably give some credit from that point of view to the way Labuschagne batted, because he was batting about, half a yard outside his crease. And that pushed them back.
And that's good batting by Labuschagne. You have to say that as well. And Labuschagne's obviously watched and has played in England with this ball, so probably has a fair understanding of what the conditions are like from a first hand point of view. But we'll have seen what England have been doing in Test matches, which is trying to get people off of that full length and push them back down the pitch, because that you can cash in later. Head certainly knew that you could cash in later, and I think played a marvellous lock. So that's the first of the three things. I think India, I don't think is a terrible mistake. I still think they bowled well up front and were potentially unlucky not to pick up another wicket or two. But I really think you have to throw caution to the wind at the moment with the way the Duke's ball is, and particularly on flat surfaces like this, and just, you know, hope that you do pick up four wickets early in the yeah. days, because it makes everything else so much easier. And, you know, it's that's point one. Next point, what was the other two? We've got Ashwin and we've got bowling plans.
Yeah, should we go bowling plans?
Okay, so bowling plans wise, I don't know about you, but India today reminded me of England when they go to Australia. And I'll talk you through the process. Right, so they picked four identical bowlers, basically. They've got two opening bowlers, and then there's their first change and their second change bowlers. They're just two more opening bowlers, basically. But they're not quite as good as the first two guys. Like,
or as fast.
Or as fast. So the opening bowlers, they bowl a really good first spell, and people are thinking, oh, you know, they could nip some early wickets here. Then they turn the ball over to first change, and they continue to keep the pressure on, but don't really blow the game open, and don't ever really threaten to blow the game open. So you get to lunch, 75 for two, and as a spectator, you're thinking, oh, actually, you know, India are bowled pretty well here. It's going to be a really fascinating session after lunch. They throw the ball back to the opening bowlers. They get another breakthrough. The ball's still moving around a little bit, and you're thinking, oh, wow, this, you know, they're actually doing well here. They probably, for the first time, increased their chances of winning the match. And then the ball stops doing anything, and they go back to the change bowlers, and they're rubbish. I mean, not rubbish. They're obviously like decent cricketers and decent bowlers, but for the conditions,
it is like they can relax.
They've just got nothing that is threatening at all.
It's like the level of amateur cricket we play at, whereas if you come up against a team who've got a pair of really good opening bowlers, more often than not, you can just go as like, let's just see them off because they're only going to bowl like eight or whatever. And we can cash in elsewhere. And it was that kind of vibe.
Yeah, and then from that point, you're in quite a lot of trouble. You've then got a spinner who's really a defensive option on day one. And that might be a bit critical of Jadeja. I might be conflating him a little bit too much with Jack Leach in down under there, but like, he didn't really look like a threat himself. And your opening bowlers, the actual good guys here, so Siraj and Shami in this case, but Anderson and Broad, if you want to, you know, you go with the allegory and talk about England in Oz. They then have to start trying things to get wickets, and that isn't really a position you ever want to be in a Test match, where you're sort of doing one of two things. You're either looking for a miracle ball, or you're just bowling the most defensive line and length of all time that's never going to take a wicket, and you're just sort of delaying the inevitable. And I thought India sort of oscillated between miracle ball and let's just bowl really defensively and put everyone on the boundary and hope for the best. And then, oh, we'll go back for them. We'll try the miracle ball tactic again. And it just, at no point after 35 overs did I think India realistically had a plan that might get them a wicket. I think there are a couple of other things in there in terms of tactics. You talked about bouncers. Just didn't use that as a tactic. We're critical of England at the moment about
overdoing it.
Yeah, after 40 overs, they go really hard on it. But, you know, in some circumstances, it makes a lot of sense.
It's actually boring. Been quite successful as well.
It is a bit negative. It looks stupid. But if you aren't generating chances with conventional 81 mile an hour, no swing, no seam movement, bowling outside off stump, and you're going at four and over because Travis Head's just smacking you through the line of the ball, maybe you do need to mix it up there. So I don't know if you would add to or contend with any of those points.
I think it's a pretty reasonable assessment. I mean, you are limited with what you can do. Especially, you know, like you say, with the lack of your main asset in, you know, probably the best bowler in the world. And that does rob you of something and a bit of something, you know, a bit of extra pace or whatever it is that can get you that wicket. It wasn't the kind of day where it was going to reverse. There was possibly a sign of it really late, but by that point, you know, it's not relevant because you're going to take the new ball anyway. So, I mean, I sympathize, but yeah, that's where I think as a captain, you have to start thinking a bit more outside the box about what you can do. Like maybe even trying to like nick someone out down the leg side, like get your leg slipped in. I mean, they tried a leg slip to Labuschagne early on, which was quite interesting. I think the first ball he played actually went through there. So I don't know if that was a preconceived plan or just belatedly following the ball. But that, you know, there are things you can do. They're a bit weird. They're a bit funky, but give it a go. I don't know if that's, you know, a Rohit Sharma, you know, not been captain of a test team for very long aspect to it either. But
I actually think he's quite a passive captain in general.
It was a bit Joe Root, wasn't it? That was
it. It was very Joe Root. It was very Joe Root down under. But
the other thing they didn't have is point three.
Let's before we do point three, we're going to take a break. We'll do Ashwin after. But I also think you mentioned Bumrah twice. I would say that the point one and two are massively impacted by the absence of Bumrah. Yeah. Because Bumrah, he is a huge point of difference. So your tactics can
suddenly your change bowler is Mohammad Siraj, and you're like, oh.
He also does bowl full of shit. Like he's a genuine threat to bowl and trap people LBW every time he's got the ball because of the way he bowls. And I think in terms of, we said it on the preview, that I think the biggest difference between these two teams is is Bumrah, basically. I think if he is playing, we're probably looking at a very, very different situation. So we're going to hit the break button, Max, and then we'll come back and we'll talk Ashwin. Welcome back, everyone, to part two of the Cricket Podcast's wrap of day one of the World Test Championship final. We talked about India's lengths, we've talked about tactics, we've talked about Head. We haven't talked about the man, we've talked about one of the men who wasn't there, Bumrah. We haven't talked about the man who is there but wasn't there, Ashwin. India made what we assume was a late call to go with. We don't really know whether it was Shardul or whether it was Umesh Yadav. It kind of doesn't really matter between either of them, I don't think. They made the decision not to play Ashwin. That's the key point. Max, with the benefit of hindsight, was it a good decision?
hindsight is 20/20, as they say. Yeah, I mean, I wanted Ashwin in when we did the preview on Monday, and I would stand by that. Now, I can see why they went for the four pacers and Jadeja, but there's more than just, you know, what happened today, I think, to think about with this. Firstly, picking the four pacers kind of meant they had to bowl first, I think, because you don't have necessarily the attacking spin option to try and bowl a team out day 4/5, maybe, with both the spinners. And the other thing is, you're saying, well, if we're bowling first, if we're going to bowl first, you're not going to bowl first with two spinners, probably. Because you can't, like one of them, maybe you rotate them to hold and end up, but if that doesn't work, then you end up in a bit of a sticky situation. So I think they sort of felt as like they had to go with the pace and try and get early wickets. And that's not necessarily always the right thing to do at the Oval. So that probably factored into their toss decision. Apparently, Cummins said he would have bowled as well. So, you know, it's probably much of a muchness. But either way, I think that's a factor, but it's just the thing we said the other day. It's just, you know, he's the difference in quality probably trumps the potential benefit from the conditions, and I think you saw from, I mean, it was probably Umesh in the end that was the weak point rather than Shardul Thacker. But
I didn't think either bowl Ashwin great. There.
No, if you bowl Ashwin instead, he's probably not. He might not take any wickets either, but he's probably not going to go for four and over.
Well, I think that's a big one. I mean, I say that neither of them were great. I think Shardul Thakur was better earlier in the day, but as, you know, the conversation we were having about it being like watching England down under. He's Chris Wokes, you know, like he looks okay when the ball's moving around a little bit, and then like the worst bowler in international cricket when it isn't. Like it's night and day. Which I think with Ashwin, you're always going to get a baseline of production, aren't you? Like, it doesn't matter when you give him the ball. There is always the possibility.
He doesn't need it to turn prodigiously, because he can turn it either way and you don't know which way it's going.
Yeah, I think the other thing, we sort of predicted that it would be quite a flat pitch. And I think that was when we were talking about who we would pick. I think our reasoning was that on a flattish pitch, you would want Ashwin because he's a better flat pitch bowler. And I think that reasoning holds true as well, and I don't think you needed that much foresight, to be honest. I mean, like we're calling it without even having been to the ground that it's going to be quite a flat pitch. I feel like you should have been able to do that.
We've watched enough cricket at the Oval.
Yeah, I feel like it's a missed opportunity. I think overall it's probably a slim difference. I imagine it will be blown up out of all proportion, this decision. But I do think it is one that sort of overall has weakened India. And
it's not totally crazy. It's not like England going with no spinner at Ahmedabad. Not that mad, but
yeah. No, it isn't. It's a small mistake, I would say. Max, the way the game is poised now, if you want to look at it from a win predictor or a betting market point of view, interestingly, Australia's chances of winning haven't really increased throughout the day.
It's just the draw.
Yeah, basically, the day started, Australia are about a 50% favourite to win, India about 35%, and then a 15% chance of a draw. Now, if you look at win probabilities in most places, it's Australia 55%, India down below 10%, and then the draw hoovering up about 35% of the match equity, if you like. I think that's probably a fair reflection. It is quite a flat pitch, and it is certainly possible that India pile on the runs when they get a goal. I actually think it might be easier to bat tomorrow and then get a little bit harder through the match. But
unfortunately for India, Australia are batting tomorrow.
Well, yeah, but it's been a bit of a hammering, and this is probably the point where Australia, if they have a good start tomorrow morning, then they can knock
India out of the equation.
Well, completely. They knock India out of the equation, and they probably start to at the moment the draw is 35%. If Australia bat to lunch without losing a wicket and a 430 for three, which is a possibility, those Indian bowlers are going to be sore, and Smith and Head are going well, then I think Australia suddenly look like mega, mega favourites, and they've got many routes to victory. They can sort of time declarations for when they want and so on. 55, 35, 10, is that about right, Max? Or do you think India have got an improbable route to victory that we're not taking into account?
I think if anything, the 10 for India might be a little generous. The only route I can see for India is that the second new ball ends up being completely productive. Steve Smith and Travis Head have a really bad night's sleep. And we come out in the morning and India skittle the last 7 wickets for 50 runs. And everything falls in a heap. And then they've got a shout, but even then, they still have to bat pretty well. They've still got to put up, 450 plus, I reckon, if they want to win the game, because they are going to be batting last, and the pitch will deteriorate a bit, and Nathan Lyon becomes a factor. So
actually,
I think you're going to have to be ahead of the game. And as the team batting second, you're going to want to be ahead of the game if you're going to win it anyway. So I'm not bullish.
Yeah, I'm not massively enthusiastic. I think another problem for India is that I think the weather is going to get worse. Well, it's obviously not a problem for the draw, but there is some rain predicted for Saturday and Sunday afternoon now, so it looks like reserve day might be required. And I think there's rain predicted for that as well. That's obviously not good for Australia.
Most rain is predicted for the reserve day.
In terms of winning, but it also means that you're likely to see India having to bat to try and save a game at some point, or in poor conditions, visibility-wise, with the ball moving around and potentially a quite well-rested Australia attacker who are getting to come on and off the pitch. I mean, do you remember, was it last year, Mohammad Shami bowled a 20-over spell because of rain breaks against yeah. England? Like, that is not what you want if Pat Cummins has got the ball, is it? I also think on this pitch, and this is why I think the draws may be overstated here. I think there is the possibility that India roll Australia tomorrow morning. It's a very slim possibility, but I think that could happen. I think that the Australia attack will be more suited to this pitch than the Indian attack, I think.
Yeah.
Cummins,
they've got a little bit of extra pace. So,
and I think the bounce will be the big one. I think Cummins and Green, they just bowl from higher than the India, but they're more suited to these pitches. Boland is a pretty good exponent of line and length and bowling on flat pitches himself. And then you've got Stark as the wild card, who can bowl fast and full. And if you've got runs on the board, it doesn't matter if you hit him for a few boundaries. He's a wicket ball man, isn't he? Like, he is somebody you can send to go searching. And finally, I think actually this is the sort of pitch where you get a little bit of extra bounce that brings Nathan Lyon into the game too, with his overspin. So, if I was an India fan, I'd not necessarily be looking forward to the rest of the test. And I would be, I'd be disappointed that the groundskeeper is prepared like a MCG style pitch or a Western Australia Wacker style pitch, maybe not Wacker style, but certainly with a bit of bounce to it. Yeah, you know, India could put on the runs themselves, yeah. So it's not inconceivable.
Let's not forget that India's batting lineup is full of, you know, class talent. I mean, Rohit Sharma played alongside KL Rahul, you know, in England in that tour a couple of years ago. Played some really good innings against a moving ball, and got through some really, really tricky phases. Virat Kohli is Virat Kohli. You know, Pujara, who's been playing county cricket here, you know, for years and has been this season as well. So he'll be ready for the task. And you know, Shubman Gill is Shubman Gill. He's the next cab off the rank of greatness from what we can see. So there's certainly opportunity for India to rack up some runs and get themselves back into the game. But like you say, with the time aspect to it, them actually winning it, I think, seems very unlikely. Certainly draw is very much on the card still.
We've got a few questions through and we'll get to them now before we wrap up in 10 minutes. The first one, it was a question we had through from our Discord, kind of through our Discord, but I thought I'd touch on it. I thought it was an interesting point. And you can join our Discord, actually, if you sign up as a patron, patreon.com/thecricketpod, to keep the show on the road. Lots of benefits there. And you can find out all about that by clicking the link in the show notes. The question was something along the lines of, like, in matches like this, it always looks like, well, why are we not taking the draw more seriously at this point in time? And I wanted to talk about that from the perspective of sort of what an average day's batting is in these conditions. And I think the reason that Australia are so far ahead of the game is that they have far exceeded what an average day's batting on this surface would be. I think this was a 300 for 7 type pitch. I think India probably were a bit unlucky and maybe bowled the wrong lengths before lunch, and tactically were a bit naive later in the day and didn't have a particularly varied attack. I think Australia v this India batting lineup, roles reversed, I would have 300 for 7 as an average day. Now we're in a position now where if India have an average day with the bat, they're going to lose the test match. Like, they have to have an above average first innings to draw the game. So that effectively is where we're at. Although it is a good batting surface, just batting well is no longer going to save India. They're going to have to bat better than expected.
And Australia are in a position where they can control the pace of the game as well. Mm-hmm. You know, India are going to probably have to try and, if they don't get early wickets tomorrow, they're going to have to try and slow things down, really, to try and keep that that draw on the table. And Australia are then, you know, even more of a comfortable position, I suppose, of just taking whatever runs they need and choosing at what point they chuck India in. So it's, I think, you know, they're pushing for and over as well, run rate rise. So it's not like they've taken loads of time out of the game to get where they are. We've been spoiled, obviously, by watching England score 500 in a day. Yeah. 327 seems like measly nothing in comparison, but it's still quite a lot in one day. So, I think that's a fair assessment of things.
Cool. Right. So, questions. Raghu asked simply, "Where is the India team? Do you think they didn't show up, or what?"
Well, only a few of them got to have a go at showing up. And they were a little bit unlucky. I mean, I thought Shami and Siraj acquitted themselves well for the most part. And then, you know, by the time it came back around, it was always going to be difficult for them. And it sort of went how we feared it might. I don't think you can really lay too much blame at anyone's feet. If you're going to be critical of anyone in particular, you'd say Umesh Yadav bowled pretty badly when he came on. He sprayed it around a bit and didn't look particularly in rhythm, but he was injured for the back end of the IPL for KKR and hasn't really bowled much, so it's not entirely that surprising. He's probably a bit undercooked. And, you know, in the field, they were pretty good, I think. They were certainly the ground fielding was solid. They tried to keep, you know, the pressure on, and they didn't drop anything. They didn't get an opportunity to.
We've had a couple of questions about Shardul Thakur as well in here, and I'm going to sort of amalgamate them from Mike and others. The general crux of it is, how is Shardul Thakur India's best seam bowling all-rounder? And I think that's a little bit harsh on Shardul Thakur to some extent here. Like, I don't think he's in the team if Bumrah is playing. I also don't think he's a seam. I don't really think he's an all-rounder. I think he is a bowler. And I think you're kind of asking a lot from him to be something that he isn't. Like, it isn't reasonable to expect Shardul Thakur, or even Yuvraj Yadav, I think, to be a consistent threat after the ball is 35 overs old. That's just not a thing that I think you can reasonably expect in the long term.
There aren't many bowlers of that style that are.
No, exactly. Yeah,
35 overs. Like, this is the reason that cricket works like it does. It's like ebb and flow. You have there's a period where the bowlers are on top, and if you are skilled enough to get through that period, then the rewards you get are being able to bat when it is nicest to bat. And they're a bit unlucky. Like, if you're going to look at it from the all-rounder perspective, like, seam bowling all-rounders aren't exactly 10 a penny in sort of in India and sort of the subcontinent more widely, really. I mean, the spinners tend to hold the all-rounder mantle, don't they? So it's not like he's come off a lot. We've come off a long line of, you know, Ben Stokes's and Andrew Flintoffs and Cameron Greens that suddenly you're in this paucity. It's just kind of the nature of cricket.
Prashant wants to know why we predicted head to fail. I don't remember actually making this prediction, Max. Do you?
No.
I think maybe a while ago you predicted that he would have a bad.
It might have been something sarcastic because of when I said that he was a forgettable cricketer and then immediately scored 100. That's the only thing I can think of.
Possibly.
I don't recall it. But you know, if you can drag up what either of us said, then we'll happily defend ourselves.
I'm going to disavow ourselves from that. And then finally, Gurjot says almost a 250 run partnership on the first day. How many teams on the receiving end of this have won a test match from here? Max, have you done the research? I sent this to you earlier in the day.
No, I didn't. I thought this was you were going to tell me the answer.
No.
Looked it up. No,
I didn't tell you that very well. I didn't pass on the notes properly.
No, I assumed it was just like you were going to do the Andy Zaltzman stat bit and I was going to be amazed.
I imagine it has happened more than you would expect it to. But I don't know if it will ever have happened in England. I think that sort of thing on subcontinent pitches, and I'm thinking Pakistan.
It can quite happily end up with you get skittled for 50.
I mean, it wasn't like the Ireland game recently in Sri Lanka. They must have, I don't think they had a 250 run partnership, but they had some big early partnerships. And actually, I don't know if they batted first, so maybe this is a bad example. Maybe they did bat first, actually, but they ended up losing the match despite batting really well in the first innings. I think. Here, I mean, like I said, I think this was a 320 for seven pitch that Australia have batted very well on. I would be surprised if a team in England has ever lost in a test match after putting on 250 without losing such a big partnership on day one. Nothing recently rings any bells. KL Rahul and Rohit, didn't they have a big partnership at Lords? And India could have lost, but then they won.
It wasn't 250 though. I'm trying to see if there's a quick way of doing it on StatsGuru, but I don't think there's an option.
Right. Well, Max, we've done 40 minutes.
For partnerships.
We've done 40 minutes. So we're going to wrap up the podcast now. We're not doing a show tomorrow because I'm in New York, and I don't know, Max, you're on holiday as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm off. And off away.
I don't think we're doing one on Friday, but Ross will be back on Saturday and maybe Sunday to take home the World Test Championship final. So don't look out for us then. If you see me in New York, say hello. Bye, everyone.
Listening to the cricket podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Social Podcast Network.